Hello everyone, welcome again to Tantra's Mantra, where we go behind and beyond the tech news headlines. I'm your host, Prakash Sangam, founder and principal at Tantra Analyst. Today's subject is quite interesting one. It's about a major shift happening in the PC industry. Of course, I'm talking about Windows on ARM. As we all know, Qualcomm has been making processors for Windows for many years now, with a handful of laptops using a Snapdragon 8cx platform. Actually, I used quite a bit of them, you know, very extensively. Probably I was the only analyst who used Windows on ARM laptops exclusively for more than a year as my daily driver. And I've, you know, written quite a bit about them as well. But that's all set to change with their new Snapdragon X Elite platforms. They announced it last year, and we're expecting the devices very soon in the market. And they also recently announced X Plus, so they're expanding the platform as well. Both of these are based on the architecture developed by Nuvia, the company that Qualcomm acquired in 2021. The benchmarks of X Elite show a lot of promise, beating Apple's M3, and probably, you know, we'll see how they do against M4 that was recently announced. And of course, beating Intel's Meteor Lake by a large margin. And with Microsoft Build coming up in a couple of weeks, the expectation is there will be a lot of interesting announcement and news coming out of that event. Of course, Microsoft will talk about the platforms and you know, Windows on ARM platform and so on. And you know, the expectation is a lot of PEMs, including Lenovo, Dell, HP, and others, announcing you know, their products there as well. And you know, I think it'll be starting from there, and it'll be an onslaught of these announcements as we move in the year. I'm sure you've seen and you know, reading the leaks and the rumors about these devices as well. So to discuss this topic, not from a specific performance or anything like that, but more on a industry-wide discussion, I'm delighted to invite back my good friend and fellow analyst, Leonard Lee from NextCurve. Leonard, welcome back to the show.
Hey, how's it going, Prakash? Thanks for having me back. Yeah, really looking forward to this discussion. And for those of you who don't know me, I'm Leonard Lee. I'm the executive analyst at NextCurve. And if you'd like to find out about NextCurve, check us out at www.next-curve.com. And with that, let's get into it.
Absolutely. Thanks for the details. I know, highly encourage you guys to check out NextCurve website and all the good work Leonard is doing. He generates quite a lot of content, so all of it is really worth checking out. I highly recommend check out his stuff. So let's get started. So I know we have tons of things to discuss. I'm sure we can spend hours on it. And I'll try to be a little bit concise on the market impact aspects of it, not go into details about the benchmarks and comparison and so on, right?
Yeah.
So all this talk about Windows on ARM for so many years, and I think this is the moment for Qualcomm, right? Where they have the real opportunity to upend the PC industry and make a mark. I know, I think X Elite has the qualities and the characteristics of making Windows on ARM mainstream and, you know, make a reasonable impact. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's really two inflection points that tap into Qualcomm's legacy. Like we were mentioning before, Windows on ARM, they've been working on this for a long time. But the other thing that they've been working on, and, you know, it caters to this you know, pretty robust hype that we're looking forward to, which is the AI PC. You know, Qualcomm's been, you know, they're just right along there with Apple in having introduced MPUs into their smartphone devices and probably ahead of everyone else in the PC space, an MPU. And, you know, they call it Hexagon. People probably don't know that. Qualcomm's actually has a deep legacy in on-device endpoint AI. A lot of that is due to their IoT, but most notably their smartphone legacy. They've been working all this stuff for a long time, and so this, I mean, that's I think this dual convergence of critical technology trends that I think are going to work really well for Qualcomm, regardless of what the benchmarks claim. But I agree with you. You know, the benchmarks themselves, you know, there's a lot of debate, arguments, and, you know, shots being shot across the bow, right? So, and, you know, I always consider these benchmarks really sort of apples to oranges comparisons, right? It's really difficult to get a good baseline, benchmark. But what's, I think, pretty clear is they have some pretty serious stuff that they're bringing to the table with the Nuvia technologies, which is now manifest in their CPU cores that are dubbed Orion. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's a very exciting time for Qualcomm and a time for contemplation for everyone else in the PC space, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And I fully agree with you. I mean, and specifically this point about AI on devices.
Yeah.
I mean, they started working on for smartphones AI when it was not as sexy as it is right now. So, I mean, they called it DSP at that time, Hexagon DSP, yeah. And then they had to rename it as NPU. I mean, yeah, obviously, you know, it has increased the performance by magnitudes in the newer versions, but, you know, they have a good legacy there, specifically on the on-device. And then, as you said, it bodes well for AIPC. And then, you know, looks like AIPC has legs, right? We both were at an Intel conference last month. And then if you look at the shipment of AIPCs, you know, it seems to have a good traction. And then kind of all indications there that it'll start another upgrade cycle, especially in the enterprise space, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think the jury's still out with all that, right? You have shipments, you have OEMs purchasing the next generation of processors. They just happen to be AI.
Correct.
They happen to be loaded with an NPU, which is, I think, what it largely constitutes if a processor is a AI PC processor or not, right? I think a lot of people in the industry will remind folks who are, let's say, casual observers of the industry that, you know, GPUs have been there for a long time. You can run pretty much anything on a GPU. It's the NPU that brings a lot of energy efficiency and optimization to the table for certain types of AI workloads. Where you're going to get an additional benefit in terms of power efficient AI compute. And so this definition of AI PC, you know, Microsoft, I guess people have just allowed them to define what it is. And, you know, I think the minimum technical requirement or specification for processor is that it has 40 tops of NPU compute.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that really matters, but that is what I think you're going to be seeing coming to market regardless, right?
Yep.
Inevitably we're going to see more of these processors with NPUs in them coming into the market.
Yeah, and I mean, I still have a lot of questions on what is the immediate use case for these things. I mean, it's more of a build it, they will come kind of mentality, but I think that's another discussion that we can have, another day.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we can, you know, maybe you can share some insight because I know you were at Adobe. I was at NAB. I go to a lot of different types of industry show. I don't just focus singularly on, let's say, the semiconductor industry. You know, I have a pretty broad range of end market research that I do, and exposure to different industries that consume, especially the high end of silicon.
Yeah.
But you do the same thing, right? I mean, I know that you were at the Adobe event, so hopefully we can sprinkle some additional color.
Absolutely. So I think in terms of use cases, quickly, talking about it. There are traditional use cases, not Gen AI, that have been traditionally there and being enhanced with AIPC. No question about that. Yeah. There is definite need for TPU in the devices. But the Gen AI that everybody's talking about, I don't think there is a good roadmap right now to move that kind of workload on the device. most of it is happening on the cloud.
Yeah.
And they have this notion that, you know, doing it all on the cloud is not sustainable from power processing and other aspects, TCO aspects. They have to bring it to the device. But how do they do it? What is the framework? When? I think that's still out, you know, there. It's the jury, you know.
The jury,
Definitive plans out there for bringing Jenny on the device in a consistent way. But, you know, this is a fast-moving industry. And we'll see and how that turns out. Okay, so getting back to this, the comparison and so on. So, and I agree with you. I mean, the benchmarks only explain you so much. There are many other things that make or mar any device or any you know, processor and so on. So, but just double-clicking on the performance. So, you know, Exelead, by many benchmarks, it's meeting or beating M3, and M4 just came out. We don't know a lot of details about it, but purely on the claimed TOPS perspective, I think M4, they claimed 38 TOPS.
Yeah.
And I think by definition, Exelead is 45 TOPS, so it beats on TPU TOPS number itself.
Yeah.
And it beats Intel Meteor Lake by a large margin. And I know that Intel's latest that they have announced, Lunar Lake, I think would be a good comparison to Exelead. So, and all of these benchmarks are good, but if you really look at the competition, the primary target for Qualcomm would be Intel OEMs, right? Not necessarily Mac.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree with you. And I think where the comparison to Apple really makes a lot of sense is simply because Apple, with their Apple Silicon portfolio, has really shaken the world. And, you know, what Qualcomm is doing, they're proving something that ARM has game in the PC market, right? I think, and that really is that big proof point that we're looking forward to in the second half of this year as these you know, devices armed with the, you know, X series portfolio of processors come to market.
Yeah, absolutely. And kind of Apple Silicon is a proof point that, you know, what the best you can do with ARM.
Yeah.
And of course, Apple, because of its vertical integration, can do many things much faster than a open ecosystem like Windows. You know, but the comparison inevitable, but really the in terms of market competition with primarily, at least in the beginning, will be with Intel based Windows laptops, right? So so I know, and it seems Qualcomm is targeting primarily the enterprise market, and even otherwise too. Usually for a player to be really recognized as a major player, you have to have many models with different configurations, different price points, and so on, which was not the case so far. I know you had like few PC SKUs, not, you know, configuration variability and so on. But, you know, if you listen to, you know, many of these players, you know, look at the leaks and the rumors, it seems that it's not just one or two, but looks like many OEMs with many different models are being planned to be out second half of this year, you know, mid second half of this year with Exelead, right? That also gives a bigger importance to Windows and ARM this time.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you on that. And, you know, the interesting thing is that with a single SKU, when you look at both the X Elite and the X Plus, each of them cater to, you know, different tiers, right? Power tiers.
Yeah.
You know, you have like, let's call them an economy or efficiency and then a performance tier. And so those are different TDPs that for, and that lends toward a diversity that Qualcomm can support with its OEMs without having, let's say, 100 different SKUs to support all the different variations that an OEM customer might want. And so, you know, I just wanted to highlight really quick, you know, the introduction of X Plus.
Right.
Because we were originally introduced with the the top tier ex elite, right? Mm-hmm. And that kind of blew everyone away. One of the things that I think, you know, you're making the comparison with the M series, you know, there were comparisons to M2 as well as 3. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the thing is when you look at the details, the X Elite starts off with a really unusual configuration, which is an all performance core configuration where you have 12 performance cores. Yep. And when you look at what Apple is doing, it's basically your, you know, traditional E core, P cores. You have a mix in of that depending on which particular SKU that you're looking at.
Yep.
But when you look at the X series, I mean, we're just looking at performance cores, even with the newly introduced Plus. And the only difference being between the Snapdragon X Elite and the Plus is that the X Elite has 12 cores, right? Mm-hmm. With two that can, turbo boost.
Correct.
Right. Yeah. And then you have, you know, Plus that has 10, but then both of them have 45 tops of MPU. So, you know, obviously Qualcomm feels that both of these processor classes need to support, the minimum requirements of what is perceived to be AI PC computing, right?
Correct. So. Yeah. And they said basically both are for premium tier. I mean, it's like sub-tiering within the premium tier, right? And it'll be interesting to see the pricing, right? Obviously, the question is, will be premium tier. But I think what will be interesting to see is how they are priced vis-a-vis Intel-based counterparts. I mean, if you historically look at it, they were the same or slightly higher with whatever few models, you know, Qualcomm previously had with its CX. But with Orion and X Elite, it's totally different ballgame. So
yeah,
it would be some inkling, but it'd be really, you know, something that I cannot speak on.
Yeah,
on publicly. But I think that is one thing that everyone will be looking at.
Yeah. I mean, I the way I looked at it, and, you know, we'll probably have to follow up with our friends at Qualcomm at some point about this, is that the Plus was really for high mid-tier kind of thing. It was more of a portfolio expansion move, which is interesting because, you know, when X Elite did come out and, Intel announced the Core Ultra, it was a little bit of a head scratcher because the Core Ultra came in kind of light in terms of the MPU.
Correct. Processing. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the estimates are it's 11 tops,
which
is below this Microsoft standard for what is minimally required for a processor or a laptop to be, or, you know, a device to be classified as an quote unquote AI PC. I thought this was more of Qualcomm, just expanding the breadth of devices that they could go to market with early on. Because, you know, I think a lot of us were thinking you got to start from the top.
Mm-hmm.
This is quite literally a new category, right? They're coming to market with probably the top of tops, if you will.
Yeah.
Market. So why not just go wide? Because, you know, there was the announcement of Lunar Lake, right?
Yeah.
Lunar Lake is going to come to market with 100 total, or what Intel calls platform tops.
Correct.
And then it'll probably have close to 45, 40-ish MPU tops of AI compute.
Yeah.
They're kind of approaching the market in a different way. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like a reactive thing.
Correct.
Because, quite honestly, I think the Core Ultra probably comes in a little bit light compared to competition, even AMD is coming to market with, right?
Yeah, so I agree. Yeah, and I think probably when the Core Ultra design started, AI was not that much of a hype, maybe. So it was probably hard for them to change midway. So that's reason, you know, the Lunar Lake is coming very quickly after a meteor lake, right? So it's not, not their standard time frame, right?
Yeah.
So maybe it's of a course correction, you know, for them after meteor lake.
But the fact that they that a lot of these companies are pivoting very quickly based on media headlines, right, and just hype sentiment is a testament to the fact that this is an MPU game. This has a lot less to do with CPU, that which I think folks were used to considering or benchmarking or prioritizing in terms of a compute IP that informed their purchasing decision. Now all of a sudden it's an MPU, and it has different implications in terms of how it can be designed in and scaled out, right?
Okay. Yeah, correct. And I mean, one thing interesting was the NPU capability, you know, like in terms of TOPS, at least between X Elite and X Plus are the same. So I think that says that, in AI PCs, obviously the NPU will play a key role, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So, as I mentioned, I have used Qualcomm 8CX based laptops quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest challenge by far was app compatibility.
Yeah.
And I think with the Windows 11 that has improved a little bit. And then, Microsoft has been consistently giving this messaging that, we will, make sure the 64-bit emulator performance is, almost similar to running natively any app on the processor itself and so on. But I think, especially in the enterprise space, app compatibility will still be a concern and an issue. I mean, if you're an IT manager, if you're, deciding on, buying thousands of laptops for your employees, even a couple of apps that are key to your IT ops are not running, then that might put some questions in your head, whether this is the right time for you to take on this platform or not, right? So your views on that?
Yeah, I mean, I'll generally agree with you. We'll find out, like you said, at Build, what degree of, let's call it, endorsement and support and, enablement Microsoft has provided Qualcomm this go, right? You said, they've been working with Microsoft for a really long time. But a lot of folks are talking about enterprise. I think Qualcomm has a great opportunity with creators, especially mobile. I think there are a lot of folks who are, social media creators or folks who are mobile, even in the broadcast industry, who might find this kind of powerful compute very useful in the field, right? As you look at tools like you were at Adobe, I was at NAB and I checked out all the new stuff from Blackmagic Designs. Everyone seems to refer to DaVinci Resolve for all the cool new creator AI stuff, and indeed a lot of the capabilities that these ML capabilities, right, classical stuff that the MPU can enable, is pretty impressive, right? We've seen some of the demos and benchmarks, not only from Qualcomm, from others, where the MPU actually makes a difference, right? Especially in terms of, power efficiency. And so I think that's another audience to consider. And enterprise, I totally agree with you. It's crowded already. It's already entrenched. It's going to be a tough market to squeeze into. And a lot of the silicon that's coming into the market over the next 6 months is going to reach parity, competitive parity with each other fairly quickly, right? And so, but I think because Qualcomm has demonstrated that, you know, there is they have promising chops on the CPU end of things, that they have a viable competitive alternative, ARM-based alternative that CIOs can contemplate.
Agreed. All right. So in terms of competition, we talked about Intel and Lunar Lake. But, you know, if you hear the chatter and the rumor mill, it seems the Microsoft exclusive deal with Qualcomm on running Windows on ARM seems to be ending end of this year or sometime next year, which means the Windows on ARM concept itself will be wide open for every ARM player out there, which means MediaTek, Samsung, HiSilicon, if it gets its fab things in order. And there are some rumors about even AMD looking at using ARM and so on, right? So it's kind of the same competitive profile in smartphones, and it's good and bad, right? Good because Qualcomm has consistently won there. Bad because so far they had exclusivity and they're the only player in the game. But now they have to see competition, especially in the time where ARM, Windows and ARM seem to be getting some traction, right? That's an interesting dynamic, right?
And I think really the battlefield will be the portable. It will be portable PC computing, right?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, when it gets to desktops, I think, a lot of the benefits that the mobile computing brings to the table starts to diminish a bit, right? And that's where I think, AMD or x86 will probably continue to find at least a pretty solid, solid defenses, from the ARM assault. But I think the portable, or what some call the mobile space PC space, that's going to get really interesting really fast, especially on the ultra mobile end of things and on the creator side of it. Enterprise, I think that's just going to be a really curious sector or battlefield. That's where, like you were alluding to, Intel still is pretty well entrenched there. It might be more difficult, I think, even for ARM players to make inroads and gain ground there. If they do, it's going to likely be still pretty hard fought territory. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'm interested to see what Lenovo, Dell, and HPE do with their enterprise laptops for this, ultra premium.
Yeah.
It used to be called ultra mobile PCs. Yeah. I don't think Qualcomm is right now focusing on the desktop, maybe at a later stage if they see success here, but that's their battlefield. Mm-hmm. And that's squarely they're concentrated there. And if these three OEMs come up with multiple SKUs, multiple models, different configurations matching their what they do with Intel, I think that gives a very strong signal to the enterprise market, CIOs and others. They are serious about it this time.
Yeah.
And it's worth taking a look at them, right?
Yeah.
And it's not just the performance that matters, right? I mean, market development support, subsidies and others play an equally crucial role. And Intel has almost perfected this art, and they have very close relationship with the OEMs. A lot of deals and so on. We haven't seen a lot of, in the public domain, signs of Qualcomm trying to address that market need, if you will. It'll be interesting to see how Qualcomm will play that game and what will be Intel's reaction and so on, right?
Yeah.
And obviously, as OEM, since you're so close relationship with Intel, that's your cash cow, You have to be balanced in how you hedge Intel versus Qualcomm, how much you basically promote in your products and so on versus the other, right? They have to keep that balance all the time.
Yeah. And, you know, I think people forget how big Intel is, especially in client computing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So even though, you know, they've had some challenges on the, you know, on the financial and market side of things, they're still really huge. You know, they have massive infrastructure that just simply can't be discounted. And they probably do a lot more software than people give them credit for.
Yep.
But, you know, at the same time, PC computing is changing. A lot of that, I know that a lot of folks in the PC world don't want to hear it, but Apple's driven a lot of that. And there's going to be a big question now. Like what you were saying earlier, Prakash. So we have all this NPU compute now. What do we do with it? And there's some hints as to, I've seen some generative AI applications and functions and tooling that look really useful. Okay. I mean, they actually help the creator. They don't just, you know, do this single shot, you know, or double shot junk creation. It's like literally, oh wow, okay, this is helpful. And running those iterations, right, of let's say using a generative tool in going through what I call a sort of a generative creation flow. There's iterations. You don't want, you're going to be racking up tokens pretty quickly. And so this thesis I think will prove out useful again for certain users. And I'm becoming increasingly convinced that it's for the power creator, because the things that I've seen where it's actually done something wow is in the hands of people who are super pro.
Agreed. So, I mean, some of the examples I have seen is, I mean, you talked about creating, right? It's like text to image or text to video tools. When you start off the big initial creation, probably you need cloud to do that. And then small changes here and there, change the color, change the shadow here and there. It takes the same amount of time if you're doing it on the cloud. So once you do the major creation and then, you know, you download the full image, vector image on your laptop, and then doing iterations, changing few things, and you know, fine tuning, if you will, makes sense to do it on a device, you know, for many reasons. One, of course, how quickly you can do it, you know, you don't have to burn a lot of tokens, as you mentioned, do it all on cloud, you know, efficient for even the service providers, right? And you know, if you're a CIO, you, when you're buying you know, laptops or your for your enterprise, you're looking at, you know, if I'm buying now, can this still be useful as it is now in 2-3 years, right? Not just today. So every application out there is going AI. So you have to be considerate of how much AI horsepower, whatever you're buying now has to do the task, not only today, but of the future as well. So, I think in summary, from my point of view, I think it's an interesting time. And, you know, looks like a lot of stars are aligned for Qualcomm, from ecosystem, from their performance, from what's happening in the industry, you know, need for AI. They have a, you know, fair chance of getting a crack at it. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I have to say that it will likely be a lot of hard work. And so if they're able to execute, I'm sure it's certain that they'll get a piece of this AI PC pie. You know, that if anything, AI PC, this hype has become a catalyst for really positioning Qualcomm in a really special way in the PC space, right? You know, their best proof point has been Apple, that ARM can be used in highly performant PC computing, right? And I think they're very well poised to prove that exact thing in PCs. The thing that they've kind of struggled to do in the past, you know, they're bringing that IP you know, that Nuvia IP through Orion, as well as their AI legacy,
yeah,
deep AI legacy, as well as ML, all that, you know, AI compression technologies that they're into as well. Because if you think about what they do on modems, they do some insane, insane compressed models and, you know, model compression.
Mm-hmm.
So all that stuff works out really well for them. And so across the edge AI, I don't know, they're going to be hard to beat.
Yeah, all the apps that they have for AI and so on, right?
AI Hub.
Yeah, AI Hub, correct, yeah. And I think to just close it, I think there are two things that we have to, you know, watch out. First one is Microsoft Build. A lot of things I think will be announced and, you know, discussed there. And Computex, which is basically the event for PC ecosystem. So I think it will be interesting to watch out for what will come out of those two events.
Yeah, I think Computex is going to be really big this year.
We should definitely come back and discuss and maybe look at the same questions and what we talked about and how they turned out after those two events.
Yeah, well, I'll be there. I'll be there for the whole week.
That's great, Leonard, as usual. Always a pleasure discussing such interesting topics with you.
Same here.
It seems there are a lot of exciting things happening from Qualcomm side in the next few months. And maybe we'll come back and discuss again sometime in the near future.
It'll be a pleasure. Thanks for inviting me on.
So folks, that's all we have for now. Hope you found this discussion informative and useful. If so, please hit like and subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you're listening this on. I'll be back with another episode, putting light on another interesting subject. Bye-bye for now.